Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Into the final hour here of Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game here in Nashville. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, and Marquise Munson here with you. As we promised you earlier, we're going to talk a little hoops here. We'll hit hockey later in the hour. Still on the watch to see if today might be the day that they would announce the host cities, the two hubs, if you will, as they try to work towards continuation of play. But obviously every sport going through their own hurdles and struggles trying to get there. Basketball, no exception. We talked to Kurt Heelan, who is the lead NBA writer, managing editor, NBCSports.com, covering the league. And Kurt, we thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
So Kurt, you know, just the first couple of things that that you've hit on today, I see on your Twitter feed, the Nuggets have closed their facility in the wake of some positive tests, and the Pelicans have had three players test positive today. So every team going through this challenge to try to get this thing off the ground, if you can get everybody in the bubble. But so how do you interpret these stories that we've seen today in terms of, you know, trying to get to where they want to go?
Turns out it's hard to create a bubble, guys. I think that's really at the heart of this. The league, the NBA built in time in this. I mean, when they came out, people were like, why are they not playing until the end of July? Why all this ramp up? Why all this time? This is why. They knew there would be positive tests. I think what's more concerning for them is that, you know, in the case of one of the teams you didn't mention, Brooklyn had two guys test positive, both of whom got to Brooklyn for these workouts and were fine and then tested positive in the facility. Now that's happened in Denver. It's happened in New Orleans, which, you know, means somebody was able to bring it into the facility. That just makes it harder. Now these guys have got to be quarantined for a while. It just makes the whole thing harder. But if you talk to the league, they kind of expected some of this, and their theory is if we did this early enough and got the guys and got treatment, by the time we get to Orlando and really create the bubble, we'll be fine. We'll be able to create something where these guys stay, you know, where guys can, once we get it going, once we get everything into Orlando, everything will be fine. I'm not sure I completely buy that, but that's the kind of the theory is it's better to catch it now than later.
Right. And so I guess that's where I was going is how do you interpret this? Because it's easy when you see, ooh, you know, three players on a roster that I don't know. I guess there's expanded roster. Let's just say there's 15 or 20 players. How in our mind do we process that? How does the league process that? More importantly, as opposed to what they expected to happen.
I think this is still within their range of expectations. It's not ideal, and it, you know, I think part of it, and this is, this will be true with the NHL, this will be true in baseball, but I think it's particularly true with the way the NBA is built. Who tested positive? This is a star-driven league, and it's very different if Russell Westbrook or James Harden or, you know, LeBron or Kawhi or somebody like that tests positive than if it is three role players. So, you know, three Pelicans tested positive, that could be something the league will shrug off, or it could be Zion Williamson and it's not that funny. You know, like, I don't want to say it's not funny, because it's not really funny anyway, but it's not, like, it's a different level of concern for the league in terms of being able to pull this off and getting people to watch. So we'll see how it goes. What I keep hearing is they're moving ahead. They expected this. This is all within the realm of possibility. But when you see spiking, you know, look, a bunch of the markets the teams are in, including the market around Orlando, is spiking with cases, it's a concern.
So at what do you think that the NBA, behind closed doors, they have a, okay, well, it's this number of players, or all kidding aside, if LeBron comes out and says, I think Patrick Beverly said, LeBron say we hooping, so we hooping. If he says we're not hooping, does the NBA have that moment where they go, yep, this isn't going to work, we're going to have to bail?
Yeah, it would actually, LeBron would be part of that. Chris Paul, who's the president of the Players Union, but also just a really vocal, respected guy, would be a part of, like, Adam Silver has done a really good job of inclusion here with, like, this has been a group decision as much as it's going, you know, ultimately it's going to land on his head, but he's tried to make it group. And that said, they are really protective of that number. Let me just say publicly and privately, no, you are not getting any kind of, like, they're not going to tell you what the line in the sand is because they don't want to be locked into it. And they want to be, you know, able to shift depending on what's going on. But there does have to be. There does have to come a point where you're like, you know, we've now got between injuries and guys not going, we could have six Brooklyn Nets out. Like, it's just, at what point, I think they're up to five or six guys who may or may, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie may still go, but who due to injury or now COVID are just not going. That's a lot of guys. That's just,
right.
That's, you're starting to really cut into, and, you know, okay, great. They can bring in the two-way players and free agents, man. If that's great, even the Lakers can bring in J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith was available for a reason. Like, if there's a free agent on the market in the middle of the NBA season, probably not an accident that that guy's available right now. If he was really good, he wouldn't be. So you're not replacing these guys with like talent levels, and it could impact the level of play.
Yeah, and that leads me into my next question, the level of play. I mean, sure, you could have that story of a guy that was on the G League or a free agent like J.R. Smith that comes in and just he's fresh and just balls out and becomes that, oh, there we go, the return to play story, let's watch this guy. But the odds of that happening, in my opinion, aren't very high, and that's not what the NBA wants. I mean, there are conspiracy theories out there that New Orleans is a part of this because they want Zion in the playoffs because of the star power that Zion has, and I get that. It's because it's a made-for-TV return-to-play event.
It's not a conspiracy theory. Like, whatever the cutoff line for getting in was, it was going to be below Zion's team. I guarantee you. That was a serious consideration, and it's one of the reasons they went with what they did. I mean, part of it is that again, it got them regular season games. This was the balance of, you know, safety with making the most money and getting in the most games, which was, you know, look, this is where the NHL is. This is where Major League Baseball is. The financial ramifications of not playing are so severe that I wouldn't call the enthusiasm level of NBA players outside of the handful of teams that are seriously competitive for a title. The enthusiasm level for doing this among players is mixed at best. Like, there's not like, oh good, I get to be away from my family for 50 days. There's not a ton of excitement about that and doing this, but they realize if they don't, what happens on the back end financially, and that's going to get them all, or not all, but most of the players there. So the level of play is going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens when, by the way, look, I don't know, let's take Portland. Pretty good team. They've got Damian Lillard. They've got CJ McCollum. They've got some stars. What happens if they lose a couple early and they stumble a little, and with three of their eight games left, they're just kind of out of it? I'm not playing CJ and Dame anymore, right? Like, it is suddenly like, I want to see the young kids. There's going to be some ugly games on the back end of the schedule.
We're talking to Curt Healing. He does great work for NBC Sports. And I kind of want to go back to the Nets for a second, because obviously if they lose Spencer Dinwiddie, then you're kind of just left with Jared Allen, and that's kind of your best player on the team right there. And they're a 7 seed right now. I'm of the belief that, you know, going into this bubble, I thought that the 8-9 seed play-in tournament was going to happen in the West, but now I'm starting to look at, with what the Nets don't have on their roster, that we can possibly see one in the East as well, with the Nets and the Wizards possibly.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Magic, who are only half a game back of Brooklyn, probably pass them. They're a healthy team outside. Well, they're minus a, you know, Jonathan Isaac, who they lost for the season and stuff, who's a young star rising for them, but they still got Aaron Gordon and Nikola Vucevic and guys who can really help them. So I expect that they'll move up to the 7th seed, and so they can get, you know, look, that's actually a good move too. Like, you would like to have, well, not that Toronto or Boston aren't good, but you really don't want Giannis and the Bucks in the first round when they feel they've got something to prove. They're just, whoever gets the Bucks in the first round gets smacked around. The only problem with somebody doing that, by the way, in the East, Washington sucks.
They do.
They've got Bradley Beal, and their second best player, Davis Bertans, is staying home because he's a free agent, and he's about to get a ballpark 3-year $50 million deal, and he's already done both ACLs, and he's like, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to wait this thing out. And the team understands that. He's been up front with them from the start. Everybody's saying all the right things publicly, but he's like, you know what? No, I'm good. I'm not going to risk my payday for this because we're probably not going anywhere. And I don't know if they've got the talent. I just don't know if they have the talent to win enough games to get within. They have to be within four games, and they have to make up a game and a half on Brooklyn, or two games on Brooklyn in eight games. And I don't know if they've got the talent to do that.
Yeah, for people who don't watch NBA basketball a lot, I don't want your first experience to be Joe Harris versus Bradley Beal. No offense to Bradley Beal, but he's great. But yeah, it's not a good first round matchup. But
they're spreading the games out over the course of the day. They're going to have four games a day, and they're going to start at like 1 Eastern and run through 9 Eastern are the late starts, and you'll get the Lakers and the Clippers and your West Coast teams in that slot. There's some dud slots in the middle of the day. Yeah, that's where you're going to see the Wizards, the Nets, and some of these teams. That's the equivalent of burying them in the schedule somewhere. There's going to be a few of those.
But sticking to that play-in tournament format, I'm going to shift over to the West because I see this as a three-team race between the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, and the Blazers to get that 8 seed in that final slot. Obviously, we want the Memphis Grizzlies because we're in Tennessee here and we're rooting for Ja Morant, but they have the toughest schedule out of this whole schedule. While you look at the Pelicans, they have the easiest. So when it's all said and done, and you also have the veterans and the experience that the Blazers have, so when it's all said and done, who do you think is going to get that 8 seed?
I think it's going to be a play-in tournament between Memphis and New Orleans. Portland's is another team with a really tough schedule the rest of the way, and I don't like betting against Damian Lillard. That guy's just clutch. He's honestly probably my favorite player to watch play in the league. I don't think he's the best player, but if I'm going to pay money to watch a guy, Damian Lillard's just fun. But Damian Lillard is just walking entertainment. Like, that guy is just hustles and makes plays and is, knocks down long threes and is clutch. And yeah. So all that said, I like Portland. I like New Orleans with the soft schedule to be able to get into the 9 seed. I don't know if they actually catch Memphis, and they have that play in. They have that 2-game play in. Memphis just has to win one of the two. And I think they can do that. Young and scrappy as they are, I think that it's just tough to beat a team. It's the same in football. It's the same in every sport. You got to beat the same team twice in a row. That's really hard. I love Jaren Jackson Jr. I think they've got enough vets. I think Memphis squeaks into that 8 seed, and that's good for the team, man. This is a good kind of playoff experience for those young guys. Even if you make it and you go up against the Lakers in the first round and they just, LeBron just crushes you, hey, that's a good experience. That's a good learning experience for a young team to see what it's going to take and what playoff ball feels like. So I lean towards Memphis holding on to this, but I think New Orleans is the team to watch just because they've got such a soft schedule the rest of the way, and I think they can get into the play-in.
Yeah, I think for the NBA's sake, they would love to see a first-round matchup between Zion versus LeBron James. I think that's money.
Not only Zion versus LeBron, remember all those guys they just traded for.
Absolutely.
Anthony Davis. The Anthony Davis switch, then Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and stuff. The suits at ABC TNT really want that. I'm not sure if it comes together. I think Memphis is good enough to hold it off.
And one more thing from me, especially something that's going on in the bubble, reports were that, the NBA was planning on having the Black Lives Matter on the sideline. And, there's been this talk and this conversation of, the NBA withholding their season for a little bit to focus on their social justice issues. But I always seen the NBA as kind of the forefront when it came to leagues as far as addressing social justice issues. So are you surprised that the NBA are doing stuff like this to kind of bring awareness to social injustice?
Not really. I kind of expect that this is, I think that they're going to try to take other steps, more concrete steps as well. Atlanta is turning their arena into a polling station. both for a runoff in August and then for the run-up to the primary, the general election in November and stuff. I think they're trying to take some concrete steps, but I'm not surprised that they've done this, that they'll have – they're letting players put names on, you know, Black Lives Matter or whatever they want to put on the back of their jerseys. Spencer Dinwiddie wanted to put trillion for the national debt because he's number 26, and that's about the debt now. There was stuff. So we'll see what it looks like.
We thank you very much for joining us, Kurt. Carry on, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk down the road, and let's keep our fingers crossed that we get to see some games in this bubble, if, as you said, if they can create the bubble. We all have this visual when we were kids of trying to blow the big bubble in the backyard in the summer, and it just doesn't go very far sometimes. Hopefully they can get that big, strong one that hangs out and rises up into the next yard.
Yeah, hopefully they can pull it together. Look, I want to see this. I want to see hockey. As a Kings fan, I'm not sure I want to see them play anymore this year. But hockey I'm like most people out there, man. I miss seeing sports, man.
No question. Kurt, we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.
All right, that's Kurt Helin from NBCSports.com, NBA writer. When we come back, he referenced it. J.R. Smith is going to be back. With LeBron James, for better or worse. We'll go through one of the more infamous moments in recent sports history and definitely in NBA Finals history. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on 102.5 The Game.
George Hill's an 80% free throw shooter during his 10-year career.
And Steve Kerr telling his guys he wants a timeout, make a miss.
Golden State has one timeout left. Plenty of time with 4.7 remaining. Hill misses. Rebound goes to the Cavs. J.R. Smith brings it back out. Throws it to Hill. Hill shot blocked. And we'll go to overtime.
You get the feeling J.R. Smith thought they had the lead.
He didn't know the score.
I think exactly. That's a bad mistake by J.R. Smith.
And LeBron James was trying to get a timeout.
And LeBron James is wide open at the top when he gets the rebound.
And they had a timeout left. Let's watch it again. Great job from Smith to get the rebound, but dribble it away. And Hill could not get off a quality shot. Watch James. Now wanted a timeout, but too late to get it. And 5 minutes go up on the clock. Overtime here in game one.
Oh, my. In the big picture, the Warriors were by far the superior team. They probably would have won the series anyway, but that moment is one we'll never forget from the NBA playoffs. Brought back up with the fact that J.R. Smith has been signed by the Lakers, and he will be reunited with LeBron James. The two were on, of course, the year that the Cavs did win it for Believe Land. Their one victory over the Warriors in that string of years where those two teams made it to the finals. Three straight times. So just to refresh people's memories, because I went back and looked at that clip this morning. I was trying to remember all the particulars. The game was tied at the time that George Hill missed the free throw with 4.7 seconds to go. 4.7. I mean, that's a lot of time to make something happen. J.R. Smith gets the offensive rebound of the missed free throw of an 80-something percent free throw shooter, by the way. So they have time to either call timeout, but more likely just, you know, go back up with it or kick it back out for a three and you have a chance to win it. You know, it was one of many things that the Cavs missed in their opportunity to steal game one on the road and kind of shock everybody. I remember there was a big block charge call where LeBron made a shot and they waved it off. I thought that was a terrible call at the time, but what a nightmare that was. And poor J.R. Smith, he's never going to live that one down.
No, but if he, you know, if he contributes and can help help the Lakers win a title, then that will certainly help in the process of making that all go away. But as Kurt said, there's probably a reason J.R. Smith was still a free agent, that he wasn't on a team. So I don't really know how much he's going to help. I guess Marquise, the only reason he's going to the Lakers is LeBron's like, yeah, he's cool. You know, there's familiarity. And so, you know, GM LeBron.
That's part of it. They they hope, I'm going to say hope because we haven't seen him play, especially after the Cavs waived him. They hope to get some sort of defense out of him because that's what Avery Bradley provided for you. Avery Bradley was one of the best perimeter defenders on their team. So you lose that. So hopefully they can get some of that in J.R. Smith. He's not the best defender, but he's not a bad defender either. And then they can get some three-point shots because obviously they need to surround LeBron James and Anthony Davis with some shooters. So that's their plan on getting a guy like J.R. Smith and the familiarity between him and LeBron James. And also because it's slim pickings here in this free agency. There's really not a lot of a picking to choose from when it comes to this free agency pool. So, yeah, you know, I think that's the reason why. Go with, you know, somebody who knows the playoff, you know, situations that you guys are in, being a number one team in the conference. You know, have some guys on their team that has that veteran, you know, mindset, even though J.R. Smith has never provided a veteran's mindset because he does a lot of goofy things. But, I mean, when J.R. Smith is good, he's good. But when he's bad, he's just really bad, like really bad. So, and that's what you're going to get from J.R. Smith. You're either going to get good J.R. Smith where he's hitting threes and he's going to get 20 points because he's shooting 6 for 9 or whatever from three-point range. And sometimes you'll get that J.R. Smith that we just heard going into the break. So, yeah. Well, it all depends.
There is how they're going to use him. I think it would be a great sports redemption story. If you know, there are some stories from the past, right, of people that have had the awful moment that they'll be remembered for, but then redeem themselves at least to some degree. And not that you forget that play, but that you at least feel good for the guy because they come back and they win a title later. Maybe he has a small part in it. That could be pretty cool if it hits a big shot here or there somewhere. Like, you know, go way back. The first ever walk-off home run in World Series history, Bill Mazeroski, was off a guy named Ralph Terry. Well, the same thing almost happened to him 2 years later, right? You give up a home run like that. Willie McCovey hit a line shot right at the second baseman, Bobby Richardson, that he caught, or otherwise that would have happened to him twice, perhaps. But he caught it, so Ralph Terry gets the redemption. He gets, he gets part of a World Series championship after that awful moment. Brad Lidge, remember the big home run that Albert Pujols hit? One pitch away from winning the title, Brad Lidge served up a bomb. I mean, it was a huge home run by Pujols. Well, a couple years later, he finished the World Series for the Astros. So there are great redemption stories. That would be nice for J.R. Smith. But I still, that is one of the all-time brain cramps that I can remember.
Probably since Chris Webber.
Time.
Yeah, probably since Chris Webber in the Michigan timeout that they did not have.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of them that was pretty bad.
I can relate to more because that happened to me in high school. I did the Chris Webber before Chris Webber, years before Chris Webber. When I was in 10th grade, imagine a sophomore looking at all the seniors on the bench going, oops, technical My foul bad. On the sophomore. Nice job, buddy. But that, I did do that. It would seem like that would be a little easier to do than with 4.7 seconds to go, you don't know the score. You don't know that the game is tied when the shot is taken. That was really weird.
Yeah.
And ironically, of course, they had the timeout, right? And didn't use it. That was an option that they could have taken. I don't know if that would have been the best option, but it was an option. But I think your better option is, you know, while the defense isn't set, you know, try to make a play right off of the missed free throw. He could have been the hero. Even if you went right back up with it and tried to score, but probably better just kick it back out to somebody spotting up for a three. It's a great opportunity to get a good look there. So that was unthinkable right there.
Yeah, it was.
One of those moments that we'll talk about for a while.
Yeah, and hopefully he does have his redemption. He's not like, I don't want people to see this signing and just be, okay, J.R. Smith, he's going to play this key role for the Lakers. He's probably still going to be a rotation player. He's not going to be the starter. Like, I don't expect J.R. Smith to start. They'll still start Caldwell Pope and Danny Green with LeBron playing point guard and Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee. Like, that's pretty much going to be their starting five. And he'll probably rotate. He'll probably play, like, maybe 10 to 12 minutes because, you know, he can, if he gets open, he can shoot. Like, he's a shooter. Shoot or shoot. So he's not going in there. He's not signing to be like a star, you know, a star player. He's signing to be a rotation guy and to fill a void that they're losing from Avery Bradley. And then,
right.
And hopefully he gets an opportunity when he does get in the game to not untie people's shoes while he's on, you know, at the free throw line or do other boneheaded stuff that J.R. Smith is known to do. And hopefully he wears a shirt because he's known for not wearing t-shirts. So hopefully he wears a shirt in the bubble because it's probably not safe. So he wears a shirt, he gets in the game, he plays some defense and shoots some wide open threes, and him and LeBron will be fine. And I saw a funny tweet that one of me and Chase's friends sent us of J.R. Smith going to the Staples Center instead of going to the actual bubble itself. So hopefully that doesn't happen either, and J.R. Smith can be perfectly fine and just play a good game.
One serious question before we turn the page, and we'll talk a little hockey here. By the way, I'm still peering. I still haven't seen any news. I guess it. Another day is going to go by. We won't know what the hub cities are. But in your mind, Marquise, with Avery Bradley's decision, does this change who you think the favorite is in the West? Is it still the Lakers? Is it the Clippers? Who would you make the favorite?
No, like I still think the core three are Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. Now, and there's some other teams that are below them. I think the Rockets and the Celtics, mainly those are the two that I think that if they're not in that three, then those two can possibly win it as well. But I even without Avery Bradley, I think this Laker team is still the favorite. As long as you got a healthy LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who's on top of his game, I think you're the favorite. Only thing they have to do is get past the Clippers, which the Clippers are, you know, also on the same page of, you know, having two players who are in their primes in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and probably one of the most defensive talented teams in the league. So I still think it's going to be amongst them three. Avery Bradley, he's a good player. He provides defense. You know, he gets you some scoring every now and then, but I don't think it's going to be like the loss that ruins the Lakers championship hopes.
A Lakers Clippers series would be something. Boy, would that be something.
I think it's going to be Lakers Clippers and Bucks in Boston. That's what I think it's going to end up being. Cuz Boston's like really good. So, and Raptors too. Like Raptors, this team, it's just like, and we're probably going to talk about this with the NHL. It's just so wide open. Like I can't see the Suns winning it or any of those below teams, but right. Any of those 16 teams that make it into the actual playoff itself, I think it's all fair game at that point. It's a whole new season.
Depending on who's not available, I would say that in general, the NBA is less wide open from year to year. It's no question.
Yeah.
Right? So I do wonder if this year you might have a few more upset.
Yeah, this is the first year, I think, especially if the Blazers are an 8 seed, this is the first year that I think an 8 seed can possibly thump a 1 seed, like with no hesitation, because like the Blazers are just really good when they're healthy. And like Kurt said, when Damian Lillard is on, he's on. So like even an 8 seed can beating a 1 seed. I don't see that happening in the East, but I think this is just wide open when it comes to maybe 12 teams in this playoff. And so 12 of these teams can possibly win it. And it all depends on health. We just saw, you know, three Pelicans players tested positive. We don't know who those Pelicans players are. They could be some of their core players. We don't know yet. So once we find that out and we determine who's all in the bubble and who's all playing, then that's when we can determine who's the favorite and who's not going to be the favorite.
Well, quickly, I
think they want
assumption.
It wide open.
I've made this assumption, in my mind anyway, that, you know, unless there is a big complication, I'm assuming that you could return from a positive test eventually, right? You just have to sit out.
Yeah, because I think Because even with Spencer, you know, Dunwoody with the Nets, he tested positive and he's recovering. If he's healthy and ready to go in the bubble, then I haven't heard anything else otherwise that said he can't go in the bubble just because he tested positive. DeAndre Jordan is a different story. He said, I tested positive, and also I'm not going. Spencer Dunwoody has said, like, yeah, I tested positive for the virus, but that does not rule me out of, you know, me going into Orlando. So I think, you know, they'll probably have a quarantine phase to where you have to go through for 2 weeks before, you know, going into the bubble or going, you know, going back into the bubble. So we'll see. I'm more curious. Like, I'll probably pay attention to Spencer Dunwoody and see what he does, because he's a player that tested positive a little bit fairly recently, and see if he ends up, you know, going to Orlando or not. So that's going to be the question.
When we come back, we'll get an update on hockey. We'll let you know what's been going on. We're still sort of in the waiting game, but we think it's getting closer to determining who the two hub cities are going to be. We'll give you the latest and what's been talked about today. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on 102.5 The Game. Well, Elton's singing, I'm Still Standing. We're still standing here on the show. Hopefully you are too. And
I'm
he said
sitting,
something about
but,
wearing a
you know,
mask in there, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, who knew back in the early 80s? I think it was 1983 that song came out, that he was foreseeing this. You know, we got to wear the mask.
We do.
Keep doing it.
Wear the mask.
Wear that mask. Don't give me the stuff about your rights and everything like that. Just wear the mask, man.
I have.
It's like wearing a seatbelt.
I got my Nashville Strong mask, and I'm going to wear that.
Oh, I got a rotation of masks now. I got the Nashville Strong. I got one with just the regular Predator logo on it. I got a New York Mets bandana I mix in there. I got a black and white checkerboard. I mean, I can come at you with a lot of different angles.
I need to get a Preds one and then, like, Braves. I think I need to work those in. I have some. My mom and her friend made a bunch of them, so I have some homemade ones that I wear too. So as a part of the rotation, just kind of getting used to it.
Yeah, it's becoming the norm. Make it happen. Make it second nature for the time being, right? Until we get through this. Earlier today, we told you Bob McKenzie tweeted out that, you know, they're getting close to announcing the cities. He mentioned Chicago as a bit of a dark horse. I've heard people tell me that it's going to be Toronto and Edmonton, that they could have two Canadian cities. I've heard people say it is going to be Vegas and Toronto. We will find out at some point here. You know, there's been a lot of speculation. Do the West teams go east? I think I've heard rumblings suggesting that. So the Predators could end up in Toronto, for example. But all that remains to be seen. I'm looking at the latest on TSN's website. You know, Frank Saravelli has got an article on here. The other issue that they're trying to resolve, and maybe this is also delaying announcing the hub cities, is trying to come up with an extension to the CBA. The collective bargaining agreement, and I know people are just cringing hearing that after all we've watched with the baseball, which wasn't even about the current CBA.
Right.
But they had made great strides last fall before the season started on a new CBA, trying to get it even extended for like three more years. But of course, you know, we've got a huge curveball thrown at the league with the pandemic. The
so
players
they had
owe
not
the owners.
They had not completed that yet.
Well, it lasts through all the way through next year, I think. Regardless, they had an option of reopening it, which they didn't. But I think they really felt good about creating a long term extension because of what happened in the fall. I've got to remember exactly, but the players owe the owners hundreds of million dollars because they are responsible for a 50-50 revenue split, and they've already been paid 90% of their compensation for the season. So it kind of remains to be seen. They've kept this under wraps. There hasn't been any fighting between the two sides that has come out. I do wonder, because the tone has been really good for a good while now. We mentioned Donald Fehr several times, a guy that, you know, was not afraid to draw a hard line for the baseball players. He has come out publicly and said how well the two sides are working together on the NHL front, because it is a partnership. So hopefully they will find a way to get through all of the financial issues going forward that this presents.
Well, they see how healthy the league is.
They've been guarded, yeah. The only player that I've seen speak out is Artemi Panarin. Of course, he's a guy that got the most lucrative contract of all people, and he wants to see the escrow get resolved going forward here. But, you know, that would open up a big can of worms if they really wanted to battle for that. And that potentially, you know, hopefully it doesn't affect this year, but, you know, that would be a really tough negotiation for sure.
Yeah, and nobody wants that. I mean, no, everything's good. The league's healthy. And I'm not going to say everything's good because obviously there's a lot going on right now, but the league is healthy.
Well, the league was, I think, really, really healthy going into this, right? They were on a really good run, you know, since the lockout of 2013. I think, you know, the league has thrived in a lot of places. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we've seen it firsthand here of how much it's thrived with the success, not only the success on the ice that the Preds have had, but, you know, think about, I guess it's been a year ago that the team announced that as a part of their lease extension with the city and with Bridgestone Arena that, you know, they're taking care of renovations and all of that just because of how healthy things really are. So you want to see it get back to that, and I believe that we all feel that that's going to happen eventually of society. Everything will get back to where it was and being good again. It's just going to take some time, wear your mask, but that's kind of where we're at with this. But the league as a whole, I think you felt good about things and you want to, the quickest way to get back to where you were is to try and get the CBA part of this done and not have any type of disagreement. Even though, you know, you're going to have to work at this together. There could be some, you're not going to roll in the dough, so to speak, until things do get back to normal and open back up fully. But that's just what everybody wants to see, get back to that healthy league that we had.
Just to look at it, to tie up a couple of details, the current CBA has two more full seasons right now, but they're trying to extend it for 3 years with an option for a fourth year. So looking long term here, which I think is smart because, listen, you're going to go through some tough times these next couple of years, but this would guarantee hockey labor peace through 2024-25. They're also trying to think about things like freezing the salary cap upper limit for the next two full seasons at $81.5 million to have some certainty, even though, you know, it's pretty fair to say the revenues are going to go down. With the salary cap remaining frozen, it would de-link from revenue projections for the first time in the cap era, so that would be complicated. Escrow would be capped at 20%. This is where the players will be paying close attention. Capped at 20% for the 2021 season. In other words, it wouldn't go higher than that, which is what the fear would be. With revenues down, the escrow could be higher. It's if you don't hit the number. Followed by a sliding scale, which would reduce the escrow percentage from 18 to 14%. So there's no question that they're trying to work through this, including something like deferring some of your salary for 2021 to aid the owners in getting through next year, which could be compromised with fans. So there's a lot of tough financial questions that they're trying to tackle in addition to trying to get this season fulfilled. I admire that they're trying to do all this. And let's just hope that we get some good news here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And, you know, figure out where these guys are going to play, what it's going to look like, at least for today. And, you know, that's the tough part with all of this, with these sports. It's like, all right, we have a plan. We can see it, but yet it's still like a month away before we can actually see games and talk about games. So, yeah, hopefully and we've said for a while that they've had time to figure all this out, but now they're running out of it. And hopefully, you know, who knows? By the end of the day today, we can know where the hub cities are going to be. But it's figuring all the other things out that when they do get back, they can focus on playing the games. And, of course, the health and well-being of the players that are involved.
I'm hoping for good. I'm going to stay hopeful. I do worry a little bit. These are really complex things, trying to figure out what's happening in the next few years let alone trying to get to the bubble and play this year. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes here. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show here on 102.5 The Game. Okay, we've hit the final segment of the show today. We have, once again, tackled everything that's going on in all sports. We hit baseball. We hit basketball. We hit hockey. We hit football. Now, maybe the biggest news of the day. And Darren is not here to really enjoy this, but did I see pop up on my ticker earlier today that Ozark will indeed be back for another season?
Oh.
Marquise, please tell me I saw this correctly.
Yeah, I think it said a two-part final season. So a part one
Ozark,
and a part two.
Ozark renewed for supersized fourth and final season by Netflix. Interesting.
Supersized.
Yeah, I know. You hear supersized. Huh.
I guess that means I got to catch up on some Ozark then.
Yeah. Okay. So that gives me
okay,
time.
Okay. So
wait,
hold
do
on
it.
Now. Did this was we tackled this earlier because Darren, you know, enthusiastically got into it. He watched all three seasons since the pause in the since we paused everything, right? March the 12th. I had already watched the first two seasons. Season three came out right at a good time because that's right when everything paused. We were desperate to have a new show. So everybody's now watched season three. It, you know, it was huge. It came on the heels of Tiger King, right? It, which kind of was that quick comet in the sky that, you know, came and went. But they have now said a fourth and final season will be coming. So in the meantime, have you, where are you guys? Have you guys watched the show?
No.
No.
No,
I haven't.
No?
I'm
so
a,
wait a minute. So
I'm a documentary
I'm excited,
guy.
But you guys aren't even...
I mean,
you guys
I,
aren't even into this?
I'm excited that you're excited. And,
yeah, we're happy for you.
And I will catch up before season four comes out. But I just, yeah, I, because when all this started, I, so think about this. For me, the old games that were on, especially with my team, the Braves, I mean, a lot of those I don't remember. So that was a great opportunity for me to jump in and watch those games. So I did that. And then I watched sure. documentaries. And then there were some TV shows that I got into or movies. And I just, Ozark kind of kept getting lost in the shuffle. And I just didn't get to it.
Yeah, I was supposed to start The Sopranos like a month ago. But every time I'm like sitting at the house, I'll be thinking of like a random game. I do not know why. But like the other day, I'm like, huh, I wonder, I'm going to watch the Detroit Pistons versus San Antonio Spurs series in the NBA Finals. Like, huh, that was a good series. And then I just start watching that. I like, huh, the 2001 NBA Finals, the 76ers versus the Lakers, game one, Allen Iverson stepped over Tyronn Lue. I'm going to watch that game. That's basically every day for me. So then I just, everything else gets lost in the shuffle.
I gotcha. And you know what? I have surprisingly watched a lot less Netflix than I thought I would a few months ago. So I relate to what you're saying. So this is exciting news for me.
Like, you know what I want to watch today? I want to watch the Steelers versus the Cardinals in the Super Bowl. Very underrated Super Bowl. I might watch that game.
That is a good one.
You know, we need to have that topic tomorrow. I want to come back to this and maybe get some people to participate in what level, because I used to have a lot of people too. I've always liked watching old games. I've always been like that. Darren can tell you when ESPN Classic first came up, I was like, I can't wait. They're showing this Monday Night Baseball game from 1980. And he'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm not watching these games. Who cares? But now when we've been stuck with it, I do wonder how much people have watched the old games, you know, even though you know what happens, right? There are some people that just tune out because they know what happens. They don't care to go back.
Well,
and
sometimes
watch.
People but forget, I wonder, too.
Oh, there's a lot you forget, even if you've watched it since it happened. And, you know, maybe it was 20 years ago, maybe it was 10 years ago, and maybe you watched it again 5 years ago, but there's still stuff, I guarantee,
yeah,
in a great game that you forget that you saw.
Like with the 2001 NBA Finals with the 76ers and the Lakers, I like people will look at that game and they always remember that game for being that's the game that Allen Iverson just beat the Lakers. He balled out and then he stepped over Tyronn Lue. Little do they know, Tyronn Lue had a really, really good game in that game. Like he was like really good and he shut Allen Iverson down for the entire game with the exception of that one play, that one infamous play that we all remember the most, and that's Allen Iverson stepping over him. But he played like four quarters. He shut Allen Iverson down. And then it was like a couple other quarters later, Allen Iverson's getting like 40 and then stepping over the guy. So, and but there's stuff like,
Lue,
like you don't remember.
That, yeah, that's a great category of NBA player. The role player on a great team mm-hmm. who, you know, is just the right guy in the right spot. Tyronn Lue absolutely was in that category for the Lakers back then. And you can go year to year. You know, fun names that you haven't thought of in the past when you watch them. There's a lot of fun things that you see when you watch these games. So let's save some of this for tomorrow. I want to let's come back to that and have a discussion on it. So the headline for the last segment, Ozark is coming back. A fourth and final season. Broke it up into two seven-episode parts. All right.
I know you're excited. So that's we're happy that, we're happy that you're happy.
Happen, but, okay. Also, I'll make one other recommendation that I saw yesterday. Athlete A on Netflix. It has to do with USA Gymnastics, Larry Nassar, but beyond Nassar, which has been covered very, very well, right? We know what has happened with him. HBO did a documentary on him as well. But also just, what about USA Gymnastics? What's going on there? Now, there's no Olympics this summer. So it would have been a bigger story had we been going into the Olympics this coming month. But it kind of leaves you into this question of what are they going to do? What have they been doing there? All the people that maybe knew about what was going on with the athletes and didn't really say anything. So
right.
That's a recommendation I have, Athlete A.
Okay. Check that out.
I recommend it. It's good stuff. But, of course, you may want to watch some old games.
Yeah.
And maybe I will, too.
iRacing something.
All right. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Good stuff today. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson. We have got Jared and the GM coming up next. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 10 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.